Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
What is going on, everybody? It's too late to go back now. We are going live. It is episode 119 of Pop Culture Crisis. My name is Brett. I'm here with my co-host. Please introduce yourself.
It's Mary. Hello, everyone.
She's more nervous than she thought she would be, I think.
I'm getting those butterflies. Aww. In my stummy.
In your what?
My stummy.
I don't even know what that is, but that's good. So we are, I can't see the super chats in here. Lydia, can you, or
right,
I can't
here,
see the chats.
Let me fix it. You want chats? All right.
I want to be able to talk
to our other guests.
We have Dane with us today. Please, introduce yourself, but it's too late now. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You were more nervous earlier.
As I said, for some reason,
when the lights come on,
yeah, I feel
you enter your character.
Yep. Correct.
Yep.
So you're a star, Dane.
We are learning as we go here. We're letting the stream catch up. We good?
I'm able to
see it. Shout out to technical issues.
Yeah, we're having technical issues. That's all right. We're going to go into. What's up?
Pull up on your phone.
Okay. All right. Hold on, guys. Lydia, introduce yourself, please.
I'm also here.
Whoa.
Well,
we got money already?
I don't think anybody saw it. No way. Nobody saw it. So if you saw that, guys, that is what happens when you get a super chat. You're going to see money go flying, and I don't think anybody actually saw that.
But my
hope is that they will see it in the future, and we're going to try and make this as...
If you send it again,
it will.
We promise.
Yeah, there it was. It happened on Lydia
drowning.
As we switched to her
God.
Camera.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Lydia, now awesome. You get to do a proper introduction for yourself.
Okay, I'm also here. I'm trying to help Brett troubleshoot all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. I am the producer of TimCast IRL. I will be there this evening. I was also out with Matthew Foldy earlier today because he's running in my city. I am stoked for this show. This is going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. TimCast IRL is very structured, and hopefully we'll just be able to have some fun.
Do you want to move your seat that way a little bit?
Which way?
That way?
Right?
Yep. Yes. Perfect. Perfect.
There we go.
We'll
guys,
do it live.
We'll do it live.
I said that on the test stream. I said, F it, we're doing it live.
Right.
So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We've got Margot Robbie in the news with my favorite type of segment to do here, which is who the hell asked for this?
Oh my gosh. We're going
to
have to
change that.
Is that
on camera?
That's on camera.
So nice.
That is what happens when you super chat $10 or more, and it is exactly that funny every single time.
I'm feeling
We're going to have to figure this out as we go, and yeah. I'm going to have to find a way to not be super distracted by that every time it happens.
I think we'll get used to
that's
it.
Kind of the whole appeal of it. Is
truly
that
one of my greatest ideas.
We're making it rain in here.
Yes. So I'm gonna have to. Yeah, we're gonna figure this out. So we got Margot Robbie in my favorite type of segment, which is called "Who the Hell Asked for This?" Which is they're making a Pirates of the Caribbean 6, which ties into Johnny Depp and some hilarious news we've got there because that is. Exactly what we're talking about. It's going to be so distracting
it's
every
about
single
money.
Time.
What can I say?
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Margot Robbie, Johnny Depp. We're going to talk about P. Diddy having the gall to. Yes, I know P. Diddy. He's still alive. That's still
yes,
a person.
He's still around, alive and kicking.
He is still there. That if you were wondering if he was, he is. He's got some stuff coming up in the news. Basically, where he had the gall to tell people that they shouldn't be like exiled from society forever for doing the wrong thing once. So how dare he? We're going to talk about that. We are going to talk. About the new tool from Activision, which is literally creativity is dead, so they have a diversity algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that, we got Podluck, we've got a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you guys are ready, are we ready?
Final warning to the Spotify viewers, get on YouTube. This is your time to view us on YouTube.
That's right.
This is a visual show now.
Yes.
You have to watch us make it rain in the studio.
That's right.
If you want to watch me be constantly distracted by getting money literally
the
shot
best part.
At me, that's what you're going to have to do is to watch it on YouTube. So please, if you are listening on Spotify right now after the fact, please come back, check out the YouTube
channel.
Come
chill with us live.
Yes. And the segments will be going up as usual starting tomorrow. So there's going to be all sorts of stuff. So if you guys are ready, should we just get ready? Into it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. All right. So it says Margot Robbie, Pirates of the Caribbean movie is is moving forward, and the producer confirms that she's the star, and that Jack Sparrow, that Johnny Depp may still be involved, though I have my own doubts about that.
Oh my gosh. It's going to take us a while to get into the groove.
We're
going to
keep workshopping
this. We're good. So
we're good.
It says,
it's all good.
All right. So it says, fans were heartbroken when Johnny Depp confirmed his recent stint in court has no amount of money could persuade him to return to the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, which drew a pretty definitive line under his two-decade tenure as the screen's Jack Sparrow. I screwed that one up at the end there. So it says, we're making that definition because the actor has become famous for bringing his Pirates costume with him everywhere he goes. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the videos of him, like, he goes to, like, hospitals, like, you know how, a lot of people do, like, Make-A-Wish Foundation type stuff. He goes to, like, hospitals and does, like, his own, he goes up in costume and comes
That's
up
so
as Jack
nice.
Sparrow. Yeah, I know, right?
He steals their money.
Yeah. I don't think he'd have an easy time doing that here right now. If you say it. So it says, basically they're moving forward with this sixth movie, and for some reason, because we are in the era of the female reboot, they're going to make it the type of thing where you can't
you could have a worse choice than Margot Robbie. As I said earlier, True. I do think she has, like, pirate chick vibes. She'd look good in some flowing sleeves.
Can you explain that, what pirate chick vibes are?
I don't know, like, she'd look good with some smudged eyeliner and, like, some braids and, like, big pirate sleeves.
She
throwing a dagger
will.
Around.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
I like her in this role.
Do you want to pull up the chat on your phone?
Yeah,
since
sure.
And have it in there. So I don't know if, like, just because she can pull it off doesn't mean you need to do it. It's
right.
kind of the idea.
Well,
like,
no,
just because
actually,
you
I
can.
I do hope that Johnny Depp, like, I'm hoping against hope that they will include Johnny Depp, you know?
So just because you can doesn't mean that you should. It says a sixth installment in the main franchise was announced in development alongside a spinoff being crafted by Birds of Prey duo Margot Robbie and Christina Hodson. That's a problem. They couldn't even come up with a good name for the Birds of Prey movie, if anybody remembers that.
What was the original name?
It was Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One. Harley Quinn.
Right. I can't believe you even remember that.
Which was so bad that they eventually had to, like, shorten it in the theaters and just name it Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. But they were only doing that because, you know, somebody like me knows Birds of Prey, but the average person doesn't. They just know Margot Robbie and they know Harley Quinn.
Renowned feminist Brett.
That is me. I am the feminist here. So basically they talk here. It says, yes, we are talking with Margot Robbie. We are developing two pirate scripts, one with her and one without. I don't know what one you do if it doesn't involve him. That role is kind of like, the best example I can give is a lot of people say, like, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. I like to use the example of James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano in The Sopranos. That's his role, and it really shouldn't be anyone else. It's on the way of my notes. That is what's happening
here.
That's
not going
to work. Or it's like, I guess it's like trying to make Arnold Schwarzenegger not the Terminator.
Right.
It doesn't really work in that context. But it kind of segues into what's going on in the trial, since he said he would never turn back to Pirates of the Caribbean for any amount of money. I don't know if I buy that.
Absolutely not.
I think that everyone has a price at this point, but I'm not sure. But it says, we're going to go ahead right into it. I'm going to lead you guys. Like, this one is hilarious. It says, Amber Heard testifies about poop in bed. Depp's dog ate some weed.
What?
That's a real thing. That's a real thing. So imagine, remember when you were a kid and you were like, my dog ate my homework?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, only like more graphic and awful. So it says, Amber just testified about a fight she had with Depp around her 30th birthday, saying that Depp grabbed her by her pubic bone. I wonder if she actually said pubic bone. And asked, you want to be tough like a man? She says things got so bad that she had to use the couple's safe word, which was couch.
That's
okay.
An interesting safe word.
Yes, to get him to stop. So is that supposed to insinuate that it was, like, consensual, and then they have, like, a safe word to consider? Or, like, they get mad at each other and still have a safe word and use that to stop?
Yeah, how does that work?
I have no idea.
Well, Amber Heard is a faithful fan of the show.
Yes.
I just got to say. Like,
because she's watching.
Absolutely. Like, during the case, they put some audio of her.
Yeah.
As she was talking to Johnny, and she was like, I want couch.
It all makes sense
now. No, but in that
did she actually say that?
Yeah, she's like, I want couch. And I want you to want couch. But for her,
I don't know what that means.
It meant, like, sit down and, like, let's talk.
But, well, that's what I thought. But maybe she was saying, like,
I want safety.
I want safety. That's so
maybe
weird.
We've been wrong the whole time, and she
this
actually
is so convoluted. Would, maybe she's making that up after the fact. They never had.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Would it be funny if, like, after all the last couple of years we've had with all the allegations, I think this is the one where she actually is telling the truth? And
oh, whoa!
This is never gonna get old.
Never gonna expander. I like it.
It's never gonna get old. You. It's always going to be funny. So it says Amber's back on the stands on Monday after a week-long break, and her defense team just brought up the infamous incident. Heard says that the dog, whose name was Boo, who was a puppy at the time, had gotten into Johnny's marijuana stash. So that's hide your drugs better,
yeah,
kids.
Seriously.
You should be hiding your drugs better.
Weed is not good for pets.
It's very bad. It's kind of like chocolate with dogs, right?
I'm assuming. Yeah.
I have no idea. Heard says that before she and her girlfriends left for Coachella, the dogs were up on the bed, and that's when Boo crapped in the bed. But the problem is, if you guys remember, is they literally had the thing where somebody pulled the sheets back over the bed to make
yeah,
it so like
yeah like the dog didn't do
I like
that.
The idea that the dog that. Just hates Johnny Depp and did it and then also pulled the sheets
just
back
like,
up
F you.
Yeah, the dog's like, I'm not a fan.
But here's the thing, like, not to be graphic, but you can't really compare the size of a puppy's
nope,
poop
to
it's not close. Grown adult.
No, no, you cannot.
What's the argument? The dog consumed drugs, thus her in empathy, then pooped the bed?
I don't know.
Or is the argument like, I definitely was not the abuser in this relationship because the dog pooped the bed.
And thus, you know.
It's all fine, yeah.
Okay, well,
so
that means it's fine.
So Amber's team claims that Johnny is a victim shamer, which is, I think, right now he's winning the public relations war big time.
Definitely. Do they know that she's on record, literally recorded on the phone, talking about how like she hit him and stuff?
That's
honestly,
she's also recorded basically saying like, no one is gonna believe you.
Yeah. Like whenever we talk about this the entirety of this, that's the thing that always comes back to me, because I'm the one who, like, Hannah Claire is always like, stop giving them the benefit of the doubt. I always give people the benefit of the doubt,
right?
And for me, it ends up being one of those things where all I can think about is that context, is saying that, you know, that line where it's like, that's awful. Like, to be like, that's not just humiliating, it's degrading. And it's a weird type of like, imagine how alone you would feel if you're like put in that position. And she's like, I can say whatever I want, and nobody's going to believe a word you said because of the stigma, you know, the stigmatization.
Right. Well, didn't she explicitly say, I am so small, no one's going to ever believe that you were abused by me?
That's, she said that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
She said that.
Has there ever been a more clutch recording?
Yeah.
Like, for real.
He's like, glad we
this
have
is
it.
Incredibly incriminating.
Let me just say this on the phone.
I'm sure there's, recorded. I mean, there's probably like a whole generation of guys now who are like, anytime a fight starts, just hit record automatically.
Exactly. That's what I do. Whatever Mary's in the room, I'm like,
I know you are.
Don't trust her at all.
That's why we're live.
Exactly.
Wow, okay. I see how this is.
So it says the PR team. So basically, it says PR expert believes that Depp's defamation trial against Amber could revive his career. That I do believe, that even if he loses the trial, his career will, if not rebound right away, he's at least going to, like, nobody's going into it anymore looking at him as the you know, as the abuser in this situation.
Right. And that's good.
I kind of look at it more as like they were just really awful for one another, and that's kind of Mary. Me and Mary have varying levels of opinions.
We've
on
had
this
friction about this issue.
So let's
today.
Talk. Like, let's. Do you want to read your opinion piece?
Yeah, sure. So, Julia Fox decided to chime in on Instagram about the trial, and her take is sympathetic to Amber Heard's side of events. She said she never had the power in the relationship to be abusive to him. Mm. Did she hit him? Yes. Was it abuse? No. You need to have power to be able to abuse it. She was 25. He clearly was always way more powerful, including physically and financially. And she also added that Johnny Depp is so in love with Amber Heard, and this is clearly a sick way of still trying to control her life by suing her all over the world.
The problem is the power isn't in the physical aspect of it anymore. The power is in what you can do with someone's image. At least that's the way I said, like, in a world now where perception is reality, and all it takes is one negative article written about you to make that your first Google result.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the information age, right? And they do this, like, certain industries do this.
Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Certain industries do this on purpose, right? Where it's like, if you want
to... you stuff that in your bra, Dane.
We're going to have there's going to be the safe company is going to, Okay. So in the information age where your reputation is everything, all it takes is one negative Google result to ruin your reputation at the very, you know, at the very least when you're, if you go to get employed somewhere. Now that's a little bit different for his industry, right? But it, you know, he's not, the average person isn't watching this case extrapolating to what it means for celebrity. The average person is extrapolating, like, what does this mean to the average person?
Right.
And for the average person who doesn't have a public image, if the first thing that comes up when they, when a new employer searches your name is something like this, your life could be done. Like,
okay, I get what you're saying about the power that you could have over somebody's image, and that has nothing to do with, like, your physical size or... Well, it does have something to do with how much money you have. But they're talking, like, prior to her opinion piece, they're saying that the age gap and the gap in wealth and their careers mm-hmm. is what would make it impossible for her to be the perpetrator of the abuse.
Right.
I mean, my view is that it's probably, you know, a case where abuse went both ways and crazy things were done both ways, and in a way I kind of like, I don't find Julia Fox's view convincing. I just think that Johnny Depp wouldn't have tolerated the behavior that Amber Heard displayed had she not been extremely attractive.
Yes, and I know what Julia is trying to do here. I'll tell you exactly what she's trying to do. Do you guys remember when they defined racism? They redefined racism
the
as
power
prejudice
plus
power?
Privilege. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
like,
I saw that.
Privilege plus power. Yeah. They say that power is required to mm-hmm. be X. Now they're saying that power is required to be abusive. This
You're
is
kind
not
of
the
applying
case.
The same dialectic.
Exactly the same.
Her yes. argument is literally she hits like a girl, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Right. Like, well, and this is exactly what Amber said in that phone call. She's like, no one's ever going to believe that I was able to hurt you because I'm tiny. Look
and
at
that's
me, I'm so cute.
That's awful because to me, that means that the dude can never stand up for himself.
Right.
And he's forced to basically subjugate himself all the time for fear of being the aggressor.
It's also like obfuscating the issue is that like, all of the abuse or like in major part the abuse that Amber Heard perpetrated against Johnny Depp yeah. would have been psychological, not just yeah. physical,
which to me
it
is
would
more
have been
terrifying.
Mostly psychological.
One of the things that I find today is like back in the day, courage would have been described as something like you go to war and you do something extremely courageous, dangerous, and life-threatening for like a short period of time. If you get in a fight with someone, that is a from point A to point B, and then, you know, the fight is over and you had your moment of courage or bravery, whatever that may be, right? Now, psychological torture can be done digitally, you know, on your phone, and some, you know, you can be psychologically tortured all the time. This happens a lot when people have their name smeared. You wake up to 1,000 people sending you message because they read something about you that may or may not be true,
right.
And you can't get away from that. You, if you, in today's age, when you live on your phone, or at least you have to have the ability to contact people, a lot of people don't even communicate through email as much anymore. They use apps and stuff like that.
Right.
You have to have access to these things and be around, you know, you're going to watch yourself be degraded, your image be degraded in real time, and that can be considered torture. And exactly. I think that leans into, there's a feminine aspect to that that's not meant to be sexist, that women are more cerebral in how they deal with one another. Men tend to fist, you know, use their fists to solve problems, where women tend to use psychological means.
Not
women,
anymore. No well, one can use fists to solve problems
that's
anymore.
That's true.
Yeah. That's
kind
of what
US.
I resent about
yeah,
it,
I don't
actually.
Like that.
You, wish
yeah.
you wish you could
no
still
one
use
can
fists.
Settle issues in a clean well, and done way anymore. It's all underhanded and
did anybody,
know,
did anybody
opinion see, pieces and defamation.
Did anybody see the Saturday Night Live?
No.
Okay.
Yes,
not.
I did.
Okay. If
and it
one,
was terrible.
If there's
obviously.
Anything that we can agree on as a society, it's that they took literally the funniest thing going on in pop culture in the last right. several many several years and somehow made it unfunny.
Yeah, like my point is not that this isn't a laughing matter. Like, I'm really offended that you're joking about something so serious as like a domestic.
I just mean it's unfunny.
No, like, right, yeah. make it funny though.
I'm not saying that it's not,
not
a funny
that it's
matter.
Off the table for jokes.
She pooped on a man's bed.
Like, that's
freaking
hilarious. And they somehow managed to make it cringe.
How do you make that unfunny?
It's more her body language in the whole trial. She's just like what did you say earlier? She's dressed like who? Like
Kim Jong Un or Dr. Evil today.
The blonde lady.
And it's like they're sabotaging her with the way she's dressing lately.
Yeah.
She's
well, aren't you supposed to wear blue in courtrooms?
I don't know.
Blue conveys trust or something like that.
I don't know, but the blonde lady that's in this skit, this woman has been in every dumpster fire of a skit. Like, she is like...
Was she the one who played Hillary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Just as you know that, like, pretty much every Leonardo DiCaprio movie is going to be somewhat artsy and cool, like, every movie, like, that every skit this lady's on is going to be an absolute disaster horror film.
And they didn't do anything, like, they didn't really use, they were afraid to use Amber Heard in the skit for fear of
being
portraying.
Sued.
Yeah. Well, so it says, this is one of the tweets. It says, the grotesque SNL skit parodying the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial is a direct result of the behavior of Depp supporters on the internet. This phenomenon of openly mocking and sensationalizing domestic violence and sexual assault victims on social media is bleeding into every cultural space possible. Yes, it is annoying when somebody hits somebody and then tells them that they won't be believed when they get hit.
This is gaslighting.
I know, right?
This is gaslighting. This is the popular view, and they know it, and they hate it, and they're fighting against it with everything they have, and it's not going to win. It's not going to matter.
I do like
they're
this.
Lose.
The rest of them were kind of just like, this is from Andy Senior, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it says, leave it to SNL to not only be late, but also ignorant and unfunny as they make fun of Johnny Depp trial. Didn't even have the balls to have any cast member play a crying Amber Heard, let alone get any of the other trial players right. Lame.
Like, think about them recreating My Dog Stepped on a Bee.
Yeah.
That would be so funny, but instead they had to go for, like, Johnny Depp. And there's a part where they're like, do you find this funny? And he's like, a little bit.
Somebody said they should have done, like a thing with the secret love affair between Johnny Depp and his lawyer.
Yes, there's like, so much material there.
There's kind of a tension between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's lawyer.
Yeah, well,
that too.
And the thing is, he is far more charming and convincing than she is, which is why I tend to be hesitant with him as well, because he's an actor.
He's a
much better actor than she is. So the idea that he could also be kind of gaming the system, though, to be fair, there is more clear-cut evidence for him than there is for her. So I don't know. All I know is that I don't want to see a Margot Robbie Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Want Johnny Depp.
Yes, we would rather have Johnny Depp back. So 100%. I don't know if we'll end up getting there, but I think everyone here was kind of sad for last week because they were not on trial. Like, how ghoulish is that? That, like, we were all like, oh.
Come on, where's all the drama?
Like, that is kind of peak 2022, like, what the hell is society coming to? And you're like, I kind of miss the fact that these two people that were horrible to each other aren't playing it out on a public stage.
I kind of miss watching you cry on the stand, Jeez. Amber.
Man, yeah. Made horror is beyond my comprehension.
Exactly.
It is very much so. So.
Can I just close this little segment with this comment from this one Twitter user, which apparently passes for journalism now? She says, y'all do ish like make fun of women's experience of domestic violence on national television and then are shocked that comedians are getting the taste slapped out of their mouths. That's dangerous. That's actually promoting the idea of using violence against people who make jokes that you don't like. I really hate that. That makes me so uncomfortable.
They're completely okay with that.
Oh, of course they are.
They're absolutely completely okay
with
that.
They see no way that this could possibly come back to bite them.
No.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week because it's just like the ultimate admission that they think words and physical violence are on the same playing field.
They actually believe that...
That words are violence. And not just that, but like silence is violence.
So you have
to
both speak.
If you don't say the right words in the right order at the right time,
they will give you the words to say.
Yeah.
And the order in which to say them. They want that power.
The only thing that's not violence is the script they give you.
Exactly.
So as the resident unfunny jokester, this is quite concerning.
It is okay. Yeah.
We'll protect you,
Dane. Me and Dane have to be very careful because we are not exactly funny. So we have to be, you know. It wasn't meant to be mean. We're just not very funny. We'll just have to make that our thing. All right. So this one is kind of more uplifting to me in a very weird way, and I have a very strong opinion in this
arena.
P. Diddy
is uncancelling the cancel.
Yes. Which
he's stealing Piers Morgan's job from
him. Let's do it.
It is so Piers Morgan has recently been one of the many people that's turning cancel culture into a product, something that they can sell you. You know, every time the world goes one way, somebody's going to have something going the other way as a means of profiting. But in a way, I don't have a problem with this as much as I would you know, the average thing. The idea here is that P. Diddy hypes Morgan Wallen and Travis Scott on the billboards. He says, "I'm uncanceling the canceled." Only he says it in what voice?
Uncanceling the canceled. Yes. I love it.
So this came out the other day and says, Sean P. Diddy Combs, who, yes, is still alive and I haven't really thought of in a great many years, will use his 2022 Billboard Music Awards hosting and executive producer role to spread love and forgiveness and around some awesome. Formerly unlovable unlovable dudes. Now, that's kind of hard to, like, unlovable is very hard.
I mean, that is kind of the motivation behind it.
Yeah.
Here's so how says, you know this is a religion. Like, didn't the church used to sell forgiveness as well?
They sold little things.
Well, indulgences. Like,
indulgences. Yeah.
They're literally doing that again.
Can you explain that to me?
So the Catholic Church, I believe, like, used to, like, the Pope used to sell, basically,
there were certain indulgences that you could buy in the church,
like, if you
which
kill
just
a man,
is a remission of time in purgatory.
There were, like, coupons. Right. If you killed two guys, like, you could pay for the price
like
of one.
There were indulgences you could earn in the Crusades.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. So this is going to end up being something here. Like, the more aspiring business-minded people who are in producer roles be like, sure, we'll uncancel you, but your fee is going to be much smaller than that of somebody who doesn't have any dirt on them,
that's
right?
That's fine.
That's what they're going to get. So basically the idea is that he said that he was going to have them on, and he says, I said my brother Travis Scott has to perform, and NBC said yes. Did he said on Instagram? So he's kind of lumping Travis Scott and Morgan Wallen. So I forgot to get this started. Morgan Wallen, about 15 months ago, got caught on, like, a Ring camera at his house using a racial slur that is very bad and nobody should be saying. And for that, he was chastised by society and kind of
woo.
Thank you.
So he was very much chastised for what he said. And then also, as we know, Travis Scott had the Astroworld incident, which he just he's like the lawsuits. I think there's over $1 billion coming against
him. By the way, isn't it funny that, like, saying a word is now seen with the same gravity as people being dying?
That was what I was going to say. I was like, so they put these two in the same camp. Like, oh, man. Remember when you said that really awful word? He's like, yeah, remember when, like, those 10 people died because you didn't stop them from stampeding?
Yeah,
like,
that's the same. About the same.
I have a hard time with this one because this is not like a... One of the things about when you do stuff like this is you look for, like, clear-cut stories to be told. And the clear-cut story is that it's Morgan Wallen and he said something bad, and P. Diddy, who would have that right to be offended because it's a racial slur that would be personal to him, would uncancel him and say, you know what? I forgive you. But this is a far less... clean cut and, you know, I don't even know what the word for it. Like, it's a far less decisive type of situation, right?
Yeah.
So to this, you have to worry about, by saying that, yes, he should forgive Morgan Wallen and use him in the show, should he also be forgiving Travis Scott? I don't know what the answer to that is.
My thing is, like, what's interesting about Travis Scott is that he potentially has, like, one of the most, like, reprehensible cases of being canceled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not like that his cancellation was reprehensible, but the actions that led to his cancellation are insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for some reason, despite this, like, he's the guy, like, we need to save constantly.
Yep.
And, like, frankly, like, this guy's like a C-lister, B-lister. Am I wrong? Like,
I believe he's an A-lister, especially because he's affiliated with the Kardashians now. I think he's definitely at least, like,
he is, unfortunately,
B plus.
At least B plus.
He's just not as good Kid Cudi, if you ask me. But that's personal opinion.
That's opinion.
So this is, he says Travis went through a tragedy. That's an interesting way to phrase that.
Huh.
Morgan used the N-word while talking to his boy. The self-proclaimed primetime puff reminded readers, people make mistakes. Now we're moving on with love and respect for everybody that was hurt or affected. It's time to forgive. I can support that message.
Yes. But I just feel like it shouldn't be P. Diddy that's, like, vested with the authority to tell everyone that this person is redeemable.
Disagree. I think P. Diddy is a perfect person to do this because he has the clout. This is a little bit like Kanye West helping these people get back on their feet, like, giving them a second chance. This is like Robert Downey Jr. making friends with Johnny Depp and then, like, sticking up for him. He has enough clout. He can make this happen. And I honestly hope this catches on because capitalism will save the day. If you bring in these artists who have been canceled and you're like, oh, we're going to make some
money. I think
money.
Also somebody pointed out in the comments, like, Lil Durk did the same thing. Like, he's not about Morgan Wallen. He's like, he's not a bad dude. You guys need to get drunk. I like the idea that people are wising up to, like, this will eventually happen to me. Maybe a little bit of grace and forgiveness is a good thing.
That's why Diddy's a perfect guy for it.
And
I understand that. It's just, I resent that they need somebody else to vouch for them that they're an actual human being.
Right.
Well, in this case, it's just
that's
the fact
really like the situation we're in. Yeah. It's so out of control.
So so I think Morgan actually won like a country music artist of the year this year or something
oh,
like
did
this.
He? Oh, yeah,
we were going to cover that on here, but ended up like passing on it. Mm-hmm. So that and so they both performed. And then, of course, because it's 2022, the internet is big mad that that forgiveness is like a thing now. They're like, when we tell you that you did something wrong, like say the wrong word,
stay
you're
down.
Supposed to just crawl into a hole and die, because we don't really want to have to do. How dare you ask for forgiveness and try to move on with your life? That's a bad thing.
But then Chet Hanks came.
Yes,
and he freed all our
yes.
souls.
He did.
But revolutionized.
See, he's not like
it.
Diddy. He's not an A-lister. He, I would say, is probably B-list or C-list because his dad is Tom
right.
Hanks.
He is
somebody
a total
like
nepotism
Diddy?
Baby, but yeah. he is earning a name for himself.
I know,
I will
but
say that.
Diddy has that. He has the in. Like, he's big enough that he can
he
be, like,
was. Like,
well, Kanye did, too. He did the same thing.
But
remember?
Ye is, like, a once-in-a-lifetime phenomenon.
So, like, what you're saying is, like, you need to be, a clout broker.
Here's
the
deal.
Where you, like, you shill it out to the people who need it.
The deal is that I don't like that that's the way it is, but the fact is that mm-hmm. it is the way it is.
It's at
you
least
know,
one footing.
You kind of have to work with the way it is.
So right. here's some of the tweets. It says, Diddy knew about the Morgan Wallen incident and still let him perform in the name of love. Pathetic.
Yes.
That guy's literally saying, like, love?
Love.
Bad. That's that not.
How
bleh.
Dare they?
It says, I wish the media would cancel Diddy. How big of a fan? How big of him to be a follower and try to ride the wave? LOL. Where was he before? SMH. Yeah, I mean, putting Diddy in charge of producing this and deciding that it would be his mission to get Morgan Wallen and Travis Scott uncancelled was probably not a brilliant idea. They literally don't want you to ever feel safe or
right.
to ever be allowed to like make a living for yourself again.
Their mistake is thinking that they can cancel someone as big as Diddy, and this is why we need people like him. Woo!
Thank
my
you.
My gosh, every time.
Thank
you, guys.
You.
This is why we need people like him to stand up. We really do. We need big names to be like, you know what? We're forgiving people now. That's what we're doing.
I kind of agree and I kind of disagree. Because we need people to stand up for themselves.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, the ideal situation would be someone like Morgan Wallen can speak up for himself, or Travis Scott can actually answer for the deaths that occurred at Astroworld. Yeah. Like,
and I'm having
instead of getting somebody else to step up to on their soapbox about how they can be redeemed.
And I'm having a hard time like discussing them in the same gravity.
Oh,
like,
they're totally like,
not even
and they're
close.
Totally
actually
not.
Comical.
And the fact that they are seen as like the same scale of tragedy.
That's the world we live in now.
It just shows how insane this has gotten, because people are groveling for forgiveness for things that they should have never apologized for. And then when you actually do something criminal and you just like stay silent because
I thought Wallen stayed silent.
He did.
He
that's
like
what
he, I think for the most like he didn't really address.
Well, I just mean like in a general sense.
Also,
like,
there's
usually when people are getting mobbed for things they say, like they immediately apologize and make it worse for themselves.
Never apologize.
Oh, no.
Unless you actually have something to apologize for. And the other thing that I say is never apologize to a group.
Exactly.
Apologize to an individual that
yes.
you've wronged. But when they ask for it for a group, it's always disingenuous.
Yeah.
I also love this. This is my favorite headline of the day. It says, Morgan Wallen doesn't address N-word video controversy in Billboard Music Awards return. How
Good.
Was that supposed
Good.
To happen?
They were expecting him
Good.
To stop in the middle of a song and He's, be like, by the way, I'm really sorry for that N-word video.
Yeah, that's what they're like. Like, he comes on stage, he's like, thank you for giving me this award, and I would just
grovel,
like
grovel, Brett.
Yeah,
like, he didn't grovel.
So I mean, I don't know if it says the country singer delivered his first major awards performance since he was caught on camera using a racial slur a year after he was banned from the Trophy Fest. So he was like, this is kind of those things, like this is happening with like businesses that were like giving mandates, and now they're rolling back mandates. Mm-hmm. You're banned from an event. I bet you Will Smith is back in like less than 2 years.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they're not going to let that. They're just not like,
he's an A-list.
But I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with getting back to just forgiving people and being okay with people making mistakes. And I'm not talking about like them needing like the forgiveness of everybody else. I'm saying like as a society, understanding that forgiveness is a virtue and it's not something that you should look like you're being somehow less of a person for, or less strong. No,
nah.
Disagree.
Pay your sentence. You slapped a man on live television and humiliated him.
Yeah, but, okay.
You can stay home with your crazy wife.
Well, sure. That,
I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not even talking. I was talking more about the
oh,
Morgan
okay, sure.
Wallen. Like, yeah, like you have to also resist the urge to like lump everything in together. Like you said, we're talking about right. Travis Scott and Morgan Wallen when they're not really the same thing at all.
But because they're being thrown in the same dungeon, I guess.
Yes. Same light. Yeah.
So here's, it says, Diddy gives an award for activism against racism while simultaneously giving a platform to Morgan Wallen. They don't have any clue what forgiveness or what,
they don't want forgiveness. They don't like that he's making it cool.
Yes. So it says, why is Billboard really supporting and promoting this racist prick? He said one thing that was off color and really
drunk.
Bad. He
literally
was wasted.
Drunk.
He shouldn't have said it. It's really funny. I've been rewatching The Wire, and the amount of N-words you hear dropped in that show is insane.
Like, the sensibilities were truly different.
Yes.
Yeah. So long ago.
I posted a couple of clips from the show that I'm just like, yeah, this would never get made in mm-hmm. 2022.
Even if it's more realistic, it doesn't matter. You can't portray that type of word being said anymore.
That's the part that bothers me. I like the fact that the realism feels... I think part of that comes from the fact that we can't as a society, like... the idea is like you wrote what you knew back then, mm-hmm. and now you can't really do that because you have to write for large groups of people. So if your life experience is generally kind of... I don't know what the word for it would be.
Rough around the edges.
Like they're not going to really trust you to be telling a legitimate story. And like a lot of what we see from Hollywood now is very sanitized. I started rewatching The Wire because I was watching We Own the City, which is it's a David Simon production, which he's the one who created The Wire. And it feels so sanitized and fake as compared to The Wire, just because now the internet is a real thing and there's no way to get away from the instant clapback for everything you do.
It's all corporate.
Yeah.
And I think that cancel culture is at least partly to blame. Yeah. And that's why I'm so glad that Sean Combs, whatever the F he goes by now.
Someone said that he goes by Brother Love.
Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to keep calling him
Sean
Diddy.
Combs.
Yeah.
There you go.
So he used to be called Puff Daddy.
Oh, yes, Puff Daddy was
so
what
many. You can't even keep track.
So they talk about how at their performances, both Travis Scott and Morgan Wallen got decent sized or got good responses from people.
Course.
Because I don't think we also keep making the mistake in saying that Twitter is like the real world.
No,
and Twitter is not the real world.
Yeah, I was just considering like how many cancellations do you think were completely like funded by like corporations maybe or other like rivals, like celebrities mm-hmm. with bots that creating viral content trashing somebody.
I didn't actually pick out the article today, but they actually just had a thing where like at the Oscars this year they had like a fan favorite category, like because they're like nobody likes the Oscars anymore because mm-hmm. like so we're gonna try to do this thing. And a movie called Army of Darkness by Zack Snyder won, and Zack Snyder is known for having like a really really rabid heavy duty fan base that like loves all his stuff. They literally got the Snyder cut of the Justice League movie made from like just sheer willpower. They bought out advertisements and gave money to charity to show like how like, and they've got their own like I've heard stuff from people saying it's like super poisonous. There's a lot of people in there that are like you know like Brigade on other channels and stuff like that. I can't speak to that. I just know that group had a large moment, and they're saying like bots were part of like that there was like stuff coming in at weird times, like lots of votes coming in all at once. So bots were involved in that. And like Shane Cashman was here a couple weeks ago talking about the dead internet theory.
I haven't stopped thinking about it. That really like left a mark on me.
You guys know that Elon Musk discovered some significant percentage of Twitter users are all bots. And
like a lot of people have had like mass unfollowings and
mass followings. So it's like, what's going on
when you think about the power of your follower count? On so like think about how many like people on Instagram or TikTok put the amount of followers they have or plays they get on their social media page
or
like,
on a resume.
Yes. So if that is enough to be if there's enough power in your follower count to make you viable for companies, it's just as likely that your an antagonist count could also
your tracks.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Like a lot of like with all this stuff, whether it's Morgan Wallen, whether it's Travis Scott, whether it's these types of things, it all feels very manufactured and a product of the time we live in.
Yeah.
And would not have been a thing 15 years ago. 15 years ago, you did something awful. You kind of said, I'm really sorry about that. You disappeared for a little while and you came back and society just kind of either forgot or didn't forgive you. But now there's those people, you know, for every actor that does something stupid, they've probably got like a couple hundred people that just hate their guts, have never liked their stuff, who will go out of their way to like there's people who like I always point this out. I get like, whenever I post skating videos, there's like a couple of people that just come in to like rag on me. And
that's their favorite pastime.
I cherish them.
It's the
same two or three people that come in to just, some reason, like hate my guts and can't like resist the opportunity to take the time to say
something.
It's probably Dane.
It's probably Dane.
And his two other throwaway accounts.
If that happens to someone like me who does not have a humongous following online, you have to believe that a celebrity with far bigger, you know, a far bigger name is going to have that same problem, and it's affecting your ability to make money. It's affecting your ability to have strong standing in society.
People have no idea how much of the wars on social media are not real.
Yes.
And
is this because of your like how you like marketing? Like,
yeah, bots. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I'm telling you, like,
can you give me an example?
I don't want to get political, but most like elections, every like hate post is either by some agency that got hired by a political candidate or bots.
Yeah,
really.
And I would not be surprised at all. Specifically, music labels, because like sometimes a lot of celebrities. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
A lot of celebrities they do like these little kits when you work for them. It's like, this is our brand, this is our audience, and this is like the closest audience and entertainer compared to us. Thus, like, market generally to us, but here are some things where you can like get a little bit of, you know, like cross revenue.
Is there such things like bot farms and stuff like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
I've seen the phone farms. It's totally real.
I think I saw like a picture of like a phone farm like not too long ago. Like,
yeah.
They're large rooms. It kind of looks like a server farm.
But the thing is, they're way better now. Because so back in the day, it was a lot easier to identify because the account would be like brand specking new. It would be like year 2010, and the account's like literally from yesterday.
Yes.
Has one follower. Is
no
called
picture.
Like
string
awesome
numbers.
Dude 29, and
actually his name is Joe Schmo 32.
Basically,
that's his name.
Yeah.
And I love my guns 43. And they're literally like given algorithms like verb, like end phrase, and they just keep like simulating it, and like it'd be harder to identify. But since everyone right now is at the point of like parody. Like, everyone's opinion is, like, a ridiculous, like, parody on themselves.
Yeah.
It's super hard to distinguish these bots from people, especially now that the accounts are older, so it seems like an actual person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's funny, because that's going to push us into our next topic, which is... that was a fantastic segue.
Great segue.
Did you see this article about Activision Blizzard's new diversity game tools?
Oh, no.
Comes across terribly. So basically the idea here is that people are so terrified to be creative now. Like, because every time we talked about this the other day with when they're making Top Gun Maverick right now, they chose not to add Kelly. I think it's Kelly McGinnis or McGillis.
Yeah, it's McGinnis.
McGinnis? Or McGillis, one of the two. Like, so the lady who played Charlie in the movie, so that and then Meg Ryan's character are not involved in this movie. And of course, you can just picture the people
are
coming out to
seething and coping.
Yes, getting ready to sharpen their knives,
it.
And they're like, "Why didn't you? You know, why aren't they in this movie for this?"
It's got to be sexism and ageism.
And what they're saying, the director just goes, "Look, that's not the story we're telling here." And that's what people need to start doing. Like, write your own story and just say, "Look, that somebody
but
else can tell that story."
That's the
I'm
thing
not
about
telling
these
that story.
People. They say express yourself, and then if you actually do something original, they're like, "No, not like that. You're doing it wrong."
So to help with that, Activision Blizzard announces new diversity game tool, and it comes across terribly. So basically, it's a diversity bot.
Mm-hmm.
It says, today's Activision Blizzard fulfilled its daily oopsie quota by blogging about how the publisher's subsidiaries have apparently been using a special tool to help develop more diverse characters. It apparently thinks it can accomplish this without, I don't know, actually talking or hiring marginalized developers. The language there is extremely loaded.
So snarky.
Yes.
It's very problematic.
No.
We're out of money.
What?
You're not.
Unacceptable. Here, put this back in.
We're more
good. Collecting
stacks.
It. I got
we're
the
good.
Stacks.
Okay. So it says, so they were saying, like, why wouldn't you hire marginalized developers? It says,
why not make your game good?
Okay.
Exactly.
Dane is going to get fired up about this one.
Yes. It says, It's where it says, why rely on pesky, fallible humans when we have powerful data to tell us we've reached enough diversity points to start a new video game culture war? This is the problem when you market and make stuff by committee. You cannot expect these people, when you give them 1,000 requirements and they can never meet all of the requirements, they're like, you know what, F it. We're just going to let a freaking algorithm design
it. I think it makes sense, because if you're asking for robotic, unfailing compliance to your every whim,
yes,
that is what you will get.
Yeah. What you get, and you deserve it.
They're basically just pushing responsibility off to the algorithm.
That you've been asking for.
They're like, hey, the computer did it, not us.
Yeah, it's
our fans are perfectly compliant and submissive, and we only give them minor lashings.
That's right. Yes.
So I don't get why this is necessary at all.
Yeah. I agree.
So it says, damn, I'm glad technology let us solve racism, sexism, ableism, and every other issue facing video games. Basically, if it's got an ism, it's existing in the space, because all video game journalists really wanted to be reporters or political analysts, but they just aren't, so that they end up
working. They didn't have that special something.
Yes, it says, who knew it was so easy when former Overwatch director Jeff Kaplan said that he would hate for the diversity to ever feel pandering? You're asking for the pandering when you tell them to fill quotas.
I would
quotas.
Hate for my pandering to seem like pandering.
Yes.
No.
So that'd be the worst.
It wouldn't work.
So how does this work? So like, now when I want a game, I'm like, I want 55% Latinx.
Yep.
0% like straight white guys, obviously. And like pretty much like every other color of the rainbow. Like, and then they'll give you, well, you can play like Becky's Clapback Adventure. It's, and like, what do you do?
But it's also like, can you imagine being like somebody who loves creating these things, creating characters? Like, if you're writing a book right now, and like all you can think about is like, I want to tell this great story about this amazing character, and someone's like, yeah, well, what does the character look like? Like, that's so boring. Why would you want to take something as beautiful as the creation of art or storytelling and make it so freaking, I don't even know what the word for it is. Like, why would you want to take something so beautiful and make it so corporate?
Sterile. Yeah. Very corporate. They're just copies.
This is getting very, like, Gamergate a little bit. But, like, really what happened is just that they saw this was sort of a male-dominated industry.
And it's still, as far as the people who play it, it's still male dominated.
Yeah.
Except for, I think, like, I think phones are, women play majority, right. Mobile,
sure,
game,
yeah.
Mobile,
like,
games.
Right.
I just pulled up stats because my initial thought is like, literally, who is this for? Because it's 90% male. However, according to playtoday.co, the current demographic for video games is dominated by people aged 18 to 34, which is 38%. And between male and female, supposedly, it's 55% male and 45% women, which I found astounding.
I don't believe that.
Like, it really seems hard to believe.
It says, well, solving these problems, referring to everything they talk, it says, and make no mistake, this is a PR disaster. I'm not just saying this because I disagree with the basic premise that you can, as the blog post states, use one handy-dandy tool to magically and quickly dissect their own assumptions, avoid token characters, and achieve true representation. This is a shifting goalpost that will never be met. There is no end goal.
Right.
There's just more.
That's the name of the game, yeah. Is to change it and change it and change it. You're always one step ahead. No one can ever be good enough.
And when they do this, when they pander, the video games eventually start to fail, just like with movies. Every time that you start making it based on what you believe are quotas that are pushed on you by the general public, you will eventually start to fail because it becomes less authentic.
And then
it's less creatively driven.
And then when it starts to fail, who do you blame?
You blame the customers. That's
of
what
course.
They blame the customers.
Of course.
No, but then.
Yes.
That's why they do it in movies. It's like, well, if you didn't go see it, you're a bad person.
This is a tool of cultural enforcement. Because then you can just say, well, you must all be bad people. You must all be white supremacists.
Here's the difference. In video games, like, America is not the only controller of the culture.
Good.
Japan
I'm glad.
Like, has like legendary development companies. And you know what they're going to do? Make billions.
Yep.
They're gonna make billions.
People have even said they prefer watching anime to like our mainstream shows and movies in the West because they don't inject a bunch of messaging.
Imagine.
Absolutely.
And they, well, they, it's also like one of the things that's really funny is like, and this is not to get off topic, is like I watch, like when I watch a lot of like Netflix and like it ends up with like the ads, like where it shows like a poster, like a, of the, every cast for like the various shows. Mm-hmm. You can always tell like which ones are American based because we have the most diverse shows, the most diverse writing, at least as far as like it used to be the most diverse writing, because we have an extremely diverse culture here in America.
Right.
A lot of other markets like Japan are more homogenized, so they don't have to worry about it the way we do here because it's part of how our cultural makeup to be diverse. But how you implement that is completely subjective.
But we also like have a higher sensitivity level to pay attention to that, and that's, we've been trained to pay attention to that more so than they have.
Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo!
Dude, it always scares me. Like, it's crazy.
It's scaring you? Oh my gosh.
Y'all jumpy. I'm used to it now.
I was just looking at you guys as you speak. I was like,
that super chat actually, it says, Wordle is considered a video game when coming up with that stat of 45% of gamers are female.
Yeah.
So yeah, that definitely fits.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah,
so
right. Checks out.
It says, while solving these, I'm back to talking on the article here. It says, while solving these problems can involve tools, Activision Blizzard has repeatedly proven that it's at a stage where it needs more education, guidance, and mentorship from actual people with soft skills to help establish a basic understanding of what diversity even means before it can be even thinking about creating a tool like this. There is no definition then.
Okay, guys, this is a cultural revolution.
Yep.
This is them trying to change the culture from the top down. We know it's not going to work. It's just going to come to the market giving more money to Japan, for example, which I think is wonderful.
Same.
Let these companies drown. Honestly, let them go right by the wayside.
I do think that Get Woke, Go Broke is a bit of a misnomer.
I agree.
It's for like people like that like tend to agree with what we might agree with to feel better about themselves.
Nah.
But I do.
Disagree?
They go, damn, buddy boy.
Well,
hell yeah.
What do you mean?
It depends.
I mean, at least for a quarter,
because every June
they
go we see them go
cashing
woke
their ESGs,
and
yeah.
Here's what
you
I
know, s- and nothing happens. Like they don't.
That's what
their
like,
dividends aren't going down because
we should be using this as a means of like every time Netflix screws up, just buy in the stock because it's eventually
right.
going to
exactly.
rebound.
Yeah.
It dips and it comes up.
Yeah.
It's like they punish you for being woke, and then they. The
they
internet's
forget.
Memory is like a millisecond, mm-hmm. and then they forget is like back to buying whatever.
Another that's reason you shouldn't apologize to large groups because, in general, you know, they're on to the next scandal 5 minutes
later.
Or
the bots are on to the next
yes.
scandal.
Exactly.
Who knows
yeah.
anymore.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, while solving these problems can involve tools, Activision Blizzard, okay, we even it says, but even if we take these things on its own terms, it makes no gosh darn sense. Can you look up any of the visualizations shared in the blog post and tell me what they might mean? So they're like, why? I can't figure this out. It makes no sense. I assume there's some logic to it, possibly one that is only explained and known to the people regularly using their tool, but even suggesting that that you can enumerate something like ability is completely bat stuff.
Bleeps.
What is ability zero? What does it mean when the picture in the blog post says that someone is sexual orientation 0.357?
Yeah.
But you're asking for this.
Yeah.
You're asking for this by giving generic, in like unexplainable ways of saying it needs to be more of this.
Right.
It needs to be more of this. It needs to be more of this. More of what? Exactly.
Right.
And then when is like has anybody ever actually been like we found it? This is the perfect movie. This is the perfect, that doesn't exist and it will never happen.
No.
Something like this is like the cynical answer to the world we live in now.
This is the crux of postmodernism, is that you maintain this impossibility to define what you actually want.
Yeah.
Keep shifting it. Keep changing the definition.
And I want to say something, great. Like, I don't even think it's necessary, like, because I don't think it's a bad thing. We, me and you covered something one time where we talked about, I believe it was Elden Ring, mm-hmm. about character customization.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a point, like, I was caught off guard and think you actually ended up kind of being right about that, where I was like, basically the idea was like the hair color. A character, like, you couldn't do certain hairstyles. And I was like, oh, that's stupid. And you're like, look, when you're making characters, you want to be able to make it look like yourself. That's actually a good example of, like, when it actually makes sense mm-hmm. to do, like, full-on, like... Yeah, like when I see movies and TV shows, I don't really care if a character looks like me. I'm looking at the traits that are different. But within within the context of a video game, that makes way more sense.
Because like all these video games are derivative. Oh my god, my English today is fantastic.
That's
derivatives.
Good.
Yeah.
Derivative.
Yep, yep, yep. Perfect.
Derivatives.
Nailed it.
Of Dungeons and Dragons, yep. which is a game where you can be absolutely anything.
Mm. They use that as like this. An example here is like this is basically a character charter.
Here's my thing about this. How are they going to get the data? How are they getting this data? Is this another thing? It's like, hey, you want to buy this game? Tell me like what age you are, what sex you are, what race you are, what, like, no, can I play?
Did you see the picture in the article where it lists it? It's basically like it says like, so it's orientation, culture, ethnicity, age, oh, ability, body type, gender identity, and then each character that's listed to the right here fits within realms of certain characters. Imagine having to do all this, and then like, so you spend like a year perfectly crafting this, and after that they're just like, okay, now we got to actually make the game.
So mm-hmm. Are they saying that the ideal character they create would go in the very center of this
I have no, like,
fractal, yeah, the,
like where you would perfectly match up into a
you
little
would
bit
get the right sexual orientation, culture, ethnicity, age, ability, body type, and
that's
gender
a good
identity
question.
All yeah. before you
and
can even play
is
the game
that?
Yeah, I'm curious too. This makes the postmodernist wishy-washiness kind of moot,
like, you
and I'm
can't,
really interested
if you
in
try
what it
to
is.
Represent everything, you represent nobody.
And that's what I said, like, this
it's
happens.
It's completely about, like, negating people, like, what people actually yeah. experience.
This happens in movies, like, when they try to, like, The Rise of Skywalker, in the last Star Wars movie, basically they went through a crap ton of reshoots, brought back in J.J. Abrams because nobody liked Rian Johnson's
right.
take on the characters, and they tried to make, like, everybody happy, meaning, like, all the old school fans here, and then the weird Reylo fans here, and it just ends up making nobody happy at all, and everyone ends up kind of leaving it like eh. And that's what we're in now. We're in the age of eh,
yeah
eh,
that's been the
whatever.
Effect of this corporateness just makes people yeah. be like, it's all boring, it all feels fake, it all feels hollow, I'm gonna go find something actually interesting. And then they end up watching stuff like from Japan,
or I just go back and rewatch The Wire and The Sopranos
right,
and Boardwalk Empire
right.
and yeah. The Black Donnellys. There's a million shows from, like, if you guys want to watch good I would even say the same for video games, but I don't play modern, I play vintage video games, but like with modern television, as far as I'm ends, you know, all of it ends at about 2015, 2014, and after that you get some bright spots here and there, but the and I'm getting slightly off topic going back to movies, but that's my ears. Like, when we started getting streaming services, kind of like with video games being made from so many manufacturers now, right, we should be in the golden age again of all of these things, but we're not, because of these random quotas and random things that we're being forced to implement by people who aren't going to play it and aren't going to pay the money for these things anyway. Historically, the people that complain about this stuff don't actually buy the stuff.
Exactly.
They're not buying
right.
your
right.
comics.
The people that are demanding all of these conditions are usually journalists, and they don't play the games,
yeah.
which is kind of... Wasn't that the whole point of the Gamergate controversy?
Yes.
Was that these are people coming from the outside, sticking their
that's
noses
correct.
Into an industry
that's
they
that's
do
correct.
Not understand or partake in?
The Gamergate controversy, I think, is because every single side of that argument was absolutely a reprehensible human being.
I mean, that
it's
felt like
and
the
we're
beginning
still about
of
it.
Yeah. So everything.
Everything.
Like
yeah.
all the insanity.
It's 2022 and we're still talking about Gamergate.
I think,
that's
okay, so
insane.
I think that the Gamergate thing has been co-opted. This, to me, sounds like an environmental, social, and governance. I don't know if you guys have heard of ESG.
I have an app on my phone that lets you, like...
you can invest with it.
Well,
it's very interesting.
It's kind of fascinating. Like, Disney was actually lower than Warner Brothers.
That's fascinating.
Last time I checked,
I want to see that
yeah.
because this is very much a conscience-based form of investment.
I try to avoid like a lot of people give this, like, the ESG example, because it's the most, like, if you're using logic, right, it's like mm-hmm. there is nothing else that explains why it all kind of happened at once.
Right.
It does, like, it makes sense that these type of cultural shifts happen. It doesn't make sense that Ghostbusters 2016 came out and then everything kind of went
that's
to hell
true,
in a handbasket.
That could just be a cultural change. And I do think that ESGs can tend to be more of a conspiracy theory.
That's
what
like,
you just
it's
blame
very hard
on it.
To prove.
Right. It is hard to prove.
I tend to shy away from it as an...
it's something to be aware of.
It's kind of like... it's like I'm more in line to believe that maybe the writer just sucked, or they just... like. There's so much being made now. There's so many video games being made. There's so much movie and television being made that the good writers just... there's only so many of them.
If
right.
there's an ESG score, there should be a based as hell score.
BAH? Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
And I want to put it. My hard-earned meme money
behind
it.
I put my doge behind that.
How much would you put into it?
I don't know. $100.
All the Doge. All the money that gets shot out at us by the super chat is the meme money.
That's right.
Your monies go to base.
Yes. Okay.
Base as hell.
Podluck, which we still don't have a theme song for.
Yeah.
We don't have a theme song for Podluck. So, guys, if you guys watch the show,
submit something. I swear we're gonna plug an email for the show eventually.
We'll have Carter make.
Send us.
We'll have Carter
send it to Carter's email.
We'll have Carter make a Podluck.
Yeah, like email Carter.
Everyone stuck Carter. Send him emails.
Okay. All right, so we're going to do Podluck, and we've got this here. So it says, thank you. yes, he says, journalists. I think you mean journalists. Yes. So it says, Doctor Strange 2 suffers massive Friday box office drop. $1 billion box office now in doubt. So Doctor Strange made $185 million in America last weekend. Mm. Not the one that just passed, the one before that. Totaling over.
I just want to say, CCP vindicated once again. They needed China
for not. Well, no, I don't know if that. I don't know if that's it. I think it's that's what I'm saying. This is the.
I'm sticking to that narrative.
The theory here is it's bad. It's bad word of mouth, and that's what's killing a lot of these movies.
Yeah, so many people told us it was terrible. Andy wanted to see it, and I was like, I heard it was terrible.
And I told Elliot, not even terrible to me. It was just it's funny.
Sam Raimi. Nothing overtly like wrong with it. It just
a lot of people said
it just made me feel. Crazy.
But in today's age, a Met is a 7.
That's true. That's like, a good for point. Real.
Well, I tell Mary all the time, I'm like, all I have to, like, if a movie can, like, not insult me with, like, political, like, propaganda the whole time, I'm like
you
oh,
can't
that
be
was...
so easily placated.
That's
I keep saying
right. Don't
that.
Don't be easy,
like,
Brett.
Ask more.
That's why I go back and watch old stuff, because I can expect more from old entertainment. So it says, yikes, more bad news for Kevin Feige's Phase 4 as it learned that Doctor Strange 2 suffers one of the worst drop-offs from Friday to Friday box office in the history of the MCU. So it says, Doctor Strange on Friday saw only $16.7 million, which is an 82% drop from the Friday before. Also, Thursday previews $90 million, but also taking $36 million from Thursday the week before. They're not going to count that the week. About a 68% drop, which is about where Batman vs. Superman was when that came out, and that was considered a really, really hefty drop. At the time, I kind of labeled that as something that was more like I felt the movie industry, at least a lot of the channels that I watched, had Disney bias, mm-hmm. meaning like they were not fans of these characters. A lot of those people who worked in that sphere seemed to not like Zack Snyder's work. So it's like how you frame it is everything. Like a lot of these articles say like... on one article, it says Doctor Strange 2 suffers massive Friday drop, $1 billion box office in doubt. Another one might read Doctor Strange 2 soars to $67 million second weekend box office. It's all how it's framed by whoever article,
of
right?
Course, yeah.
So you pick your. It's kind of one of those things where I figure this out, like when I'm picking what we talk about. You pick your site. You pick your.
You pick the tone. Oh my gosh. Dane's going to have a heart attack, guys.
So Waffle Sensei.
Super chat more.
Says, Doctor Strange 2 is terrible. My two moms superhero could have just sent Wanda. Let me see here. Could have just sent Wanda to the universe where her kids had lost their mom. Roll credits. That's actually really interesting. Somebody pointed that out to me, and I said that actually would have made more sense. But then it's like that's like a 2-minute movie, so they had to manufacture conflict. I personally, I gave it a little bit of higher score than most of the other people that I saw it with, because I think Elizabeth Olsen is charming and a charismatic actress. And just seeing a movie, however screwed up the story was, about a mom doing mom things and wanting to be
that's very wholesome.
Wholesome in the context that she killed a bunch of people to be a mom. But, you
know,
like, I was like, just the fact that they did that, and like, I don't know if any of you guys saw Terminator Dark Fate, where they kind of crap on the idea of motherhood and stuff like that. So I kind of like, I gave it a lot more leeway than I think a lot of other people did.
The theme of it was cool, like sacrificing for your children, but then taking it too far and seeking control.
Yeah, which could have been done. Like, it's also the problem here is that it's a Doctor Strange movie and not a Wanda Maximoff movie.
Right. Why not make her like actually the hero of a movie?
That was a problem. And then, as we said before, like the CGI overload that just made me feel
disconnect. So
that's just that sanitized stuff. All the CGI, it just. Everything
and
feels
like,
fake.
I saw this tweet a few days ago that was like someone praising the CGI in the new Avatar movie. And they were like, water has never looked this real.
And it does, like, if you go to real water.
Dude,
if you go to
like a pond.
Really? Like, we're doing CGI water now?
Go to a puddle.
Can nothing in the real world be good enough?
In fairness, like, for video game engines, that's how you measure if they're pretty good, how the water looks.
Yeah, that's too water's challenging.
Sure, that's but that's different. Like, Devil's the Avatar movie is completely sold on the visuals and no storyline.
When I was in film school, it was fire is like the hardest thing to recreate with CGI. Mm-hmm. Very, very difficult to, you know, how fire moves is almost impossible to kind of recreate in a really believable way.
Water and fire.
One of my favorite things to point out is, like, when you watch a movie where they do CGI fire and little Brits is like, I like pointing it out to people. I'm like, look how fake that looks. And that
thanks, Brett.
You ruined it for me. School guy.
Okay, Andy.
I'm that guy who just likes to, like, you know, I'm like, that would never happen. Like,
Devil's advocate there, Dane. He's
basically Star
your
Wars
energy.
Fans.
No, gosh, yeah. No, the idea is that if the movie was doing its job, I would be so immersed in the story that I wouldn't be thinking of doing that.
Well, then you have a bone to pick with the plot.
Yes.
You should be paying no attention to the CGI.
And that comes after that. So, oh, did you know that they're going to finish Rust?
Oh, yes. How many more people have to die?
I wasn't even going to
no spoilers.
Do this.
I
wasn't even going to really cover this. I just wanted to mention it. It's I don't know if any of you guys saw The Crow, the movie The Crow.
I didn't.
Okay.
No.
The Crow is kind of like The Dark Knight in that there's an allure to the movie because one of the actors in the movie, in The Crow, it's because he actually died in, you know, Brandon Lee actually died while the movie was in production.
Brandon Lee.
With Heath Ledger and the Joker, there was kind of a mythology that he got, like, messed up in the head from playing the Joker, and that led to his overdose on sleeping pills and hydrocodone. That has since been there, like, no, he was able to leave his performance at the door. He just always had those problems. But the mythology around believing that the character messed him up so much is part of why I believe that character is so... People love Jack Nicklaus, sure, but I think that the character has the allure that it has today because of that tragedy. There will be no such thing happening with this movie.
Well, so, more or less. Because
was it the same for Shelley Duvall
in
The Shining?
Yeah, The Shining.
Like,
yes.
That's like part of the mythology of her being actually terrified while they were filming and it not being an act is what makes it so, like, horrific and entertaining.
I think the thing about Heath, it was like he like comes off as a pretty boy, or he came off as a pretty boy, and like the Joker's like a super dark role. But then you would hear, like, basically, like, marketing about it. It's like, hey, this guy's killing this role. Mm-hmm. Like he's the best. And everyone's like, really? And then he dies, and we get the trailer, like, the next day.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know. I don't remember them coming out at the same time. The trailer came out at the same time that he
passed. It was kind of like, Heath Ledger's dead, and here's our trailer!
Whoa.
It was,
so, it says, the Rust producers Alec Baldwin and Jewel Negum are bringing a film to the Cannes film the Cannes market in an effort to launch a new production banner, Persona Entertainment, 7 months after Baldwin accidentally shot and killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of their low-budget Western.
How can they say that it was an accident? They have no way of proving that. This is entirely framing, and I want to get into, okay, so this is something I'm going to put on my Substack. I want to do journalistic literacy. I want to talk about framing and be like, are you going to put a positive spin on it or a negative? Are you going to paint this in a good light or a bad light? Because how you frame the bare essential facts is entirely, it changes people's minds and they don't even notice it sometimes.
By design.
Of course.
By design, which is not literacy. That's just evil.
Right. Well, yeah, it's something to be aware of.
So to this, it's like, where do they go from? It says, Negum says that they have financed the film, writer, director, Ben Thompson's psychological thriller False Awakening through an equity partner and believe distributors will be receptive to the project despite the circumstances of Hutchins' October 21st death, which is currently under investigation by the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
Rust is obviously a tragedy, Negum says. The investigation will hopefully be resolved soon and will unveil what happened. Obviously, there will be people out there who will give negative perspectives, but we're confident about continuity to making quality movies, about continuing to make quality movies. I think they would be better off scrapping it and just making, like, a documentary about it.
Yes.
Like, well, where is Hulu? I mean, Hulu's always there capitalizing on whatever tragedy they have
to. They did do, like, extended interviews with Alec Baldwin. This... You know what actually is psychologically thrilling or actually like horrifying is that, like, once again, on like the note of Travis Scott and Astroworld, it's like, that's fine. Like, we're just going to memory hole that and forget that ever happened. And same thing with this. Like, you're not canceled for actually ending lives.
Nope.
You're canceled for
saying mean words.
Like, that's right.
Yeah,
that was my argument. Like, why?
Literally
is Trump
a joke.
The armor on the show, I believe, last I checked, was working at like a, she was like security for a tattoo parlor. So right. She's not, her career is not taking off.
Okay, so let me square this in my head. They're saying it was an accident. Oh, but it's also being investigated by the police.
And they did
since
find negligence.
October,
they but
found
it is
negligence.
A mistake.
Is it?
It says in October.
I have no idea.
In April, a New Mexico safety agency found that Rust producers demonstrated a plain indifference to the welfare of cast and crew,
yes,
and levied its maximum fine of $136,793 for safety violations against Rust producers. So basically, it's kind of like, if you want to kill somebody, just make a movie.
Yeah, just pretend.
It's kind of like that old meme. It's like a guy who's about to have sex with like a prostitute, and then the cops break in. They're like,
there's
you can't do that, and they hand and there's a camera
da, da,
and it says we're not it's not prostitution, we're making a porno,
yes,
and they're like, oh,
right,
well,
carry on.
It's kind of like it's a very morbid version of that.
Yeah.
It says I don't know who's gonna want to watch this. Like, they're like,
everyone,
I said,
the movie that has someone dying,
yeah, probably
that,
everyone,
that's awful.
I thought the same thing about like casting controversial people. Like, if they keep Amber Heard in Aquaman 2, I feel like more people are gonna watch it because they want to see her in it.
Well, they've cut her down. I think that, like, we covered that,
yeah,
one day. It's like less than 10 minutes of
but
time.
But I figured they're not gonna take her out entirely, because I bet some people are gonna go just because they've been hearing her name in the news so much.
Yeah.
She'll make money off, like, people hate watching her.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yep.
People are going to hate watch Alec Baldwin.
So it goes.
Oh, also, Dane, I wanted to ruin your day and say that fans are divided over Master Chief losing his virginity in the Halo TV series.
He lost his incel status.
He is no longer a super soldier.
He was supposed to be an incel super soldier.
Dude, they gave away his
virginity. I was finally represented on screen.
You're like, this
damn
is
it.
And now I have nobody. There is nobody I can see myself in. On camera.
This is the representation,
frankly,
that really,
exactly,
matters.
That's a tragedy.
I
agree. As far as I'm concerned.
This is how much this show is coping. They're going to be like, guys, I don't know, get him laid. Do something.
It's also kind of funny because Halo TV series is kind of like Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, and like, people are united about hating the show. They're like, it's just bad.
Also, somebody commented on our test live stream clip, like, if I don't see you guys trash talk the Halo series next time, I'm done with this show.
Oh, buddy, welcome to the show.
Yeah,
first
so we're
of
doing
all,
it.
I am
literally lasted 10 seconds after watching that pile of dog dung. I'm trying so hard today,
you're
guys.
Doing great.
Maybe one of my most unhinged segments we did was when I talked about it, because it was like, I wasn't annoyed because I don't have any. I was like, I shouldn't even be this angry because I don't care about the games. The fact that I can be this angry over something and have never cared about the games is insane, because the characterization is so bad and the writing is so bad and the characters are so wooden that it was like, it was literally like Admiral Haldo, but 1,000 times worse.
Dude, I was watching Survivor with my girl. The episode ends. The autoplay is the Halo series.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm on Pop Culture Crisis tomorrow. Why not watch it?
Oh, no.
Legit,
dang,
it took 10 seconds to be cringe.
Oh, no.
10 seconds. My girl was like, turn that
off.
Wow.
The most
now.
The most.
Wait, what was so egregious in the first 10 seconds? I never watched it.
It like gets to girl boss instantly.
Oh no.
The whole show it's like girl boss means wine aunt meets wine aunt. Or wine grandma.
Really?
It's not that. It's like, the funny thing is, like, there's this actress who's I don't even know her character name, but she's like, she's apparently like a really, really talented Bollywood actress, I believe, right? And she looks like she would be fantastic, just not in, she's just clearly not cut out for this role. She doesn't have the physicality that would be needed to do her job, meaning like, she doesn't have to be violent or physical, but she has to at least look semi-imposing because she's in charge of a bunch of people. And she doesn't. And it's like, and the more I saw her, the more frustrated I would get, because I'm like, I can name you 5 other actresses off the top of my head that would be able to do this role, and you did this.
There could have been a bunch of flips they got That would have been perfect.
Of course.
And then there was like they're like in the middle of a war and the daughter's like, I'm never going to get promoted because my mom won't promote me. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
Like in the middle of like intergalactic warfare with aliens, it's like, you know what? I think we're not being represented in
this. I
you
wait to get promotion.
What?
Yeah. Please.
Like, nobody's actually talking like that. Like it doesn't sound like anybody who writes this stuff has ever actually talked to another human being in their entire life.
That's great.
Ever. Like, it doesn't look like they've ever had any type of workplace conflict that wasn't worked out by an HR person.
They probably haven't, to be fair.
So it's like, it just comes off horrible. And it's like, the stakes should be so much higher and you should be focused on so much more stuff. One thing I will give them credit for is they attempted to do the opening CGI, the orgy of CGI in daylight, and they didn't do it at night, which I'll give them. Normally, they will block and frame that stuff with night in night settings because it's easier to
everything
to fake
is so
CGI.
Dark now. It's so low effort; you can barely see anything.
That's well, by design.
Yeah.
Well, I respect your opinion. This show deserves not even the slightest bit of positive thing. This is the like. Amongst the worst things that have been perpetrated to humanity ever, and you should feel ashamed.
Oh, okay.
I'm just here trying to play devil's advocate and give them an attaboy for and give them one thing.
Denied.
Denied?
No. Yes.
Okay. Well, so you're not a huge fan of him not being of him losing his virginity. Wasn't even with Cortana, because you can't have sex with Cortana.
Good for you.
It says the series has already faced criticism for fans making a number of changes to the established mythology of the games. That's because everyone with a brain has been telling you to stop doing that for the last 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. All you have, like, imagine living in a world like where there's so much vanity where it's like somebody's like, we have these games that millions of people enjoy. Just kind of adapt this, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that. Why would we take your formula for success when we can ruin it, make our own thing, and then blame you when it doesn't come out well?
For right. real. Like, the reason why we... Sorry, Mary. The reason why we, like, basically, like, get on them so bad is because, if you guys don't remember from an earlier episode, we read an article that says, like, the screenwriters proudly said that they were not and did not going to pay any attention to the source material. And they wrote like an equivalent.
It was like 296 scripts.
296 scripts.
Part of me doesn't even believe that.
Me either.
Ridiculous.
But like,
it was like, do you have 20. That much time on your hands?
Based
or
on
are you
nothing.
Lying?
Based on nothing, because they've never played it. They don't know. So they're like, they talked with I don't know who. And they were like, I got 296 ideas,
oh
of which
like, none of
there
which
would be 10.
Fan service is like the easiest thing in the world.
I disagree. I think fan service
actually
is the easiest
thing
to ruin.
Uh-huh. No, it's the hardest thing in the world to get right, actually. Well, really? One of the things I bring up on here a lot of times is like, you're better off just making your own show, because with a
ideally,
built-in fan
yeah.
base, you don't have built-in fans, you have built-in critics. I forget who the YouTuber is. You don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, you may have gotten the benefit of the doubt. You no longer get that from the consumers. So when you make things, imagine they made this same show, the same awful show, and called it, you know, generic space opera. And then it's like, I mean, it's kind of bad that the lady kind of looked like my aunt Phoebe, who comes in a couple times a year and drinks a bottle of Chardonnay. I don't know why she's commanding a starship, but, you know, the special effects were all right. Like, you're more liable to give leeway to something because it's new than you are when it's adapting something that you're extremely fond of.
This is only Halo in name. It should actually be named like Wimixen in space.
Yeah.
Like, this is.
Yes.
This is not Halo.
I love it.
The X stands for war.
This is not Halo. It's not.
Space whammon.
Space
whammon.
Space whammon. That's perfect.
I love that.
Hey, new show by Timcast Media.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody ever saw the amazing thing called Homeboys in Outer Space in the 90s.
Whoa.
But
oh,
no.
Let's. Great. We're live for the first time. I don't know if this is the good time.
I recommend everybody go and watch Homeboys in Outer Space. That's all I'm saying.
That's great.
Classic. Classic. All right. So we're gonna finish it off with the swimsuit model you never knew you wanted and definitely do not.
I mean, I don't want it
now. Are you sure? Are you sure? yep, there it is.
Jeez.
Well, Elon Musk's mom is on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. No.
No,
just
look.
No.
They started with the plus size stuff. And now we've gotten to this point.
She's the airbrushing doesn't look too bad. They also did Kim Kardashian and Ciara on the cover. I just thought this was like
straight up geriatric.
Where do we go? Where do we go after this? dogs.
It's like, and also, I'm not even saying that she looks bad.
No,
like,
she
looks fantastic for her age. Yeah. But this is like so distasteful.
She has to lean on a tree so she doesn't faint. Like,
right? She's sucking in so hard. They're like, just take the picture, I can't breathe.
They actually clone stamped out a wheel, like a walker.
You guys,
like we're kidding.
She was
it's a
at
joke.
The Met Gala with Elon Musk. She looks great. She walks great. She's sharp as hell, and she raised Elon Musk and his siblings. Yes. I love that lady.
So do a TED talk then.
Don't knock her. She's allowed to be old.
I'm on Dane's side.
Maybe she should be on the cover of AARP instead.
She's allowed to be old, but she is not allowed to be sexy.
But she looks fine. What's wrong with her?
But this is so forced and contrived. This is taking all of the sex appeal out of what it's supposed to be.
I like that they're humanizing Elon Musk because they've been crapping all over him left and right for his Twitter
stuff. I don't
know
if they're accomplishing that.
Lydia, is this that?
Also, she is.
I don't even think that was the goal.
Yes.
I believe she was a runway model growing up.
Yeah, she was a model. She's a nutritionist. She raised all of her kids. Now. She literally raised a billionaire. I am not going to knock this lady. I don't care if she's too old to make.
I'm just saying.
Anybody who raised space daddy.
Where are the chicks in their 20s?
Well, to be fair, at least she is a healthy weight. Okay. Let's be real.
Did you
like,
see the
is the
Calvin
bar
Klein
so
one?
Low yes. that we're like
yes,
at least
is.
It's
I'm
not
sorry,
a landmine.
Yeah.
By the way, can confirm May Musk was a dying piece.
Yeah, there you go. Can see? Confirm. She was beautiful.
Did you debunked. See the
just cuz she's older now.
Did you see the Calvin Klein ad?
Oh gosh, yes, I saw jeez. That. See, this
I
is
don't
why
even want to think about
that
anymore.
The formula crisis matters.
You had
some
to bring that back up in
okay.
my mind.
I apologize. We're not going to talk about it. It's the ad that
sick.
Must not the ad that
must
not
be
named.
Mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it says to be a swimsuit model for Sports Illustrated, people would have locked me away as a crazy lady. She told the magazine. So she's very happy for that. So I venture no strong opinion. I thought it was kind of weird at first. Lydia's kind of swaying me toward the pictures. Also, when I originally covered this, the photo wasn't there. They've since updated
right.
it, so I had not seen the photo. I was like, this could have gone very wrong.
Yeah, she looks fine. She looks very dignified.
But it is definitely one of those things, like, we're in a weird time in culture.
Yeah.
Where this is, like...
She recently tweeted at Elon Musk when he was like, oh, if I die in mysterious
she
circumstances...
She should just call him.
No, she's like, no, don't even make that joke. I'm like, that's exactly what a mom should say when her kid is like, oh, I might die in mysterious circumstances.
But I feel like this is just more of the... Teehee, I'm not like other billionaires.
For real.
Thing.
I can't believe you're yes queening maybe. Right now.
No, I like this lady. She raised
yes
Elon Musk. These people are very smart. She's obviously a good parent.
R/ not like most billionaires. That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
Elon
whatever.
Musk. That's Elon Musk.
Whatever.
So.
I'm going to do a deep dive into like May Musk lore.
See if you can debunk me. do it.
Wait, what do you mean? What lore?
I want to read her book, A Woman Makes a Plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we would end it on that. Originally, that was going to be kind of a joke, and then I felt bad after making it. Lydia made me feel bad.
Look,
so
I'm not saying that she's not a baddie. I'm just
exactly,
saying.
She is. Like, don't knock
she
her.
She shouldn't be in Sports Illustrated swimsuit
all we're
catalog.
Saying.
Like,
all we're
that's
saying.
Not.
That's fine. That's fair.
That is not tasteful or
maybe,
dignified.
Maybe
for
she
her
should
age.
Be, like, on the cover of something like Vogue. Maybe
yeah, like
that
would be,
like,
that would be cool. Make a
for
fashion
all,
editorial
for
of
all
some
the
kind with an interview.
Is,
like, make it a thing.
Yeah, for all the things she is, she was never a sports player.
I have
she
an
was a model.
That was my idea.
There you go.
How about athletes?
Yeah, how about athletes right. on Sports Illustrated? That's a crazy
that's
idea.
That's an idea.
Dane. I don't know. There,
that's always.
That's way out of
do I get
concept.
A yay?
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 Yeah,
I yes.
I think you're right.
I'm
going to
say yay just to be contrary.
Okay, shut up, Brett.
Okay, Brett.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, that's fair. But still, I like me.
Hashtag
I
can change him.
Yeah. Vogue makes more way more sense.
Yeah,
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Glamour, so. Or whatever. Yeah.
Or Geriatric Monthly.
AARP. Okay, calm down.
Yeah, or USAA.com.
Yeah, perfect. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, that's very ageist of all of you, and I'm frankly, I'm appalled.
You know what? Fine. I'm ageist.
I'm willing to go with it.
Slap that label on me.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, now that we've settled that, all right, guys, thank you so much for coming today. This is the first live stream. Went
yeah, so
quite
fun.
Well,
yeah.
Did you have fun? At least?
I had a great time. I jumped behind Brett a couple times to help him figure out the super chat thing, but it was easily taken care of.
The mistakes were actually minimal.
Yeah.
So everyone who came to watch, thank you, and thank you for being gracious while we try to figure all this out, and we'll get more comfortable with it as the days go on, but I had a lot of fun.
Thanks for the money.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
we
got
Dane,
money.
Yes. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
Hello, everyone. You may not know this, but you actually can find me now. I know. Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
At Dane Fawn on Twitter.
I saw that. You're
the
no
greatest
private.
Twitter account ever.
Is that the at? Did you change your at to Dane Font?
It's been that.
Yeah, I think it's been that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like DP.
Ah, oh my gosh. Dana, he's ready to fight. You guys,
you're going
it.
In fight or flight mode.
Fight or flight mode.
At Dane Font and Lydia.
Okay, you guys may follow me at Sour Patch Lids on Minds and Twitter.com. I wanted to say, for the record, we had 158 viewers and 157 likes. Someone is slacking. I want all of you guys to press like and
find
to share
that
this.
One
find
person.
The one person and shame them.
To the gulag.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been super fun. And you guys can also find all my socials at sourpatchlids.me.
Thank you so much. And Mary, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and WeChat at Closer Kitty. Whenever I post articles on Timcast, I promote them on Instagram. By the way, thanks for all the money, you guys.
Yes.
We've had the time of our lives
we have.
Today.
I've never seen so much money at one
We're
time.
We're so excited.
Lydia has a great Substack.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's on my my socials as well. They're at the top.
Yes.
All right, guys. Again, thank you. You can follow me on Instagram at Brett Dasvik. It does mean the world to me that you guys came out to watch today. This will be Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. We're going to do this every single day. People have been asking. They wanted the full episode, something that they could watch the entire way through. So now the people who listen on Spotify will be missing out. They will not have the...
You'll be missing out big time, you guys.
Not good.
Just subscribe.
Look at my beautiful coworkers. Mm-hmm. That is a... Yeah, see? Look at that pose from Dane. If you're listening to this right now on Spotify, you're missing out. Please check us out Monday through Friday on YouTube at 3 p.m. YouTube. So it's Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora. That's where all of it's available. For social medias, you can find us on Twitter at @PopCulture_show. We are on Facebook and TikTok at @PopCultureCrisis. And we're also on Instagram now at @PopCultureCrisisPod. And we will be back with another episode 3 p.m. tomorrow. We'll see you then, guys. Bye.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.